Welcome back to the Word for Life Radio Ministry of the Brookside Baptist Church. I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, Counseling Pastor and Senior Citizens Pastor at Brookside. And with me in the studio is Pastor Ken Keltner. Pastor Ken, we wanted to focus our attention on missions. And Brookside is just a very busy church when it comes to missions. Not only are we missions-minded, we are missions-acting. And many, many short-term missions trips. Our teens go on trips. We've got folks going on Nehemiah work trips. And you've been on quite a few missions trips. And we just want to maybe hear what God has done in your life through these mission trips and how you can challenge our listeners.
Well, I don't know if there's anything that is more beneficial to the local church than to be active in the mission of what God's called the church to do. Really, missions is the mission
exactly
of the church. I would say in my own life, personally, it's been tremendous, challenging to me. Opened my eyes really to the field. For our family, it's done the same. We have four boys. I wouldn't be surprised if at some point, one, if not all, were on the mission field
right.
because of the missions experiences. But probably for me, personally, it was a time we were back in Denver, Colorado, and we were taking several teen mission trips, just like we do here at Brookside.
Mm-hmm.
I think our teens will be on three different trips this summer.
Right.
And I had a man in the church. He was teaching English in the public school. And he came to me after one service and he said, you know what? I'm tired of these teens getting all the blessings here. You know, they have to really trust God for the finances. They have to be prepared to go on these trips. And then they get to see the hand of God. They get to see that the reality that God is real. And I don't know if there's any more powerful impact for our young people and our children than they see the reality that God is real and He is alive and He's at work. Not only in the church today, but he's at work in families today.
And this guy was jealous then that he was missing it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he said, man, we want adults going on this trip. And I said, well, you go talk to our pastor and you talk to the missions committee and you come back to me and we'll see where we go. He came back, goes, I talked to everybody. They said, you lead the trip, take us. And I said, Brian, we're not going to go on any trip that's going to be easy for adults. So we put it out there. We probably had about 40 or 50 adults come to listen to, you know, what we're going to do, where we're going to go. And this is before 9/11. We went to the country of Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
We had a missionary in our church that was there. And when we landed, we ended up taking seven adults, including my wife and I. And when we landed in Sri Lanka, it was probably about 98 degrees at about 10 o'clock at night. Humidity was way up, but I saw M16 sticking out of the bushes, and they had a lot of civil unrest over in the country of Sri Lanka. In fact, you can even almost today pick up a USA Today and see that there was some bomb blast that happened in Sri Lanka. I think I just recently read that the Tamil Tigers, it's kind of a division ethnically with the Sinhalese people and the Tamil people in Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just saw something where there was a ceasefire agreement or something like that. But we were there in the heat of that battle. And so we're ministering and we would go back to, you know, some of these tea plantations, no electricity, little villages back in there.
Right.
And I had a 16-year-old translator by the name of Shankar. And we would get back into these places that you wouldn't even know existed. And I'd look at him, I go, now, Shankar, is there anybody that lives out here? I know I see that they bust them out here to work and all of that. He goes, oh, Pastor Ken, they live here. He says, I tell you what, you turn on generator, you start film, people come out of the woods and out of the forest, and we have 600-700 people. And then you share gospel after film, I translate gospel, people get saved. I said, all right, I'll trust you with it, Shankar. And he was right, 600 or 700 people every night wherever we went.
Wow.
Numbers of them wanting to come to Christ. And it was just, I don't know how many tracks we passed out. It had to be probably in the 100,000s. Because over there, you just toss them out on the street corner and people flock to get them.
My goodness.
So I've never really delivered tracks that way where you just toss them out the window. And I had to get on Brian. He'd kind of like to roll them up kind of hard and flick them out, and sometimes they were hitting some of the Buddhist priests, but
oh my,
they'd pick them up, man. They wanted to see what it was having to say.
Yeah.
Well, on the last Saturday we were there, the missionaries, they'd been doing a Bible club on Saturdays, and the church was in a house, and it was owned by a Hindu man, and he said, I don't want anybody to know this is a church in the community. If they come here, you can rent the building from me, my house from me, but if they come here, they come because you invited them. And so it had a little carport on it, and the daughters of the missionary said, hey, you know, with these American women here, why don't we have a bigger day? And so they kind of advertised for it. And Shocker said that he would rent a vehicle and go around and pick kids up, bring them to it. Well, in the same time, you know, I had done some coaching basketball back in Colorado at a public school, and so the guys in the community heard about it, and they said, hey, we'd like to learn how to play basketball. And so we chose Saturday for the day. So when the ladies were helping, you know, the girls with the Bible club, we were going to go to an outdoor basketball court and play basketball. And Shankar was talking big all week that he wanted to learn how to play basketball. And so we got out there, man, again, it's about 95, the humidity. You just stand out there in the court and just starts pouring, and the sweat pours off of you.
Sure.
Roughest basketball I've ever played, Pastor Greg. I mean, they would tackle you in midair. And
they thought it was football.
I think they'd been watching too much NBA on television. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know that I've ever played a basketball game that I bled that much. And really, all of our group, we had two of us, you know, that were there playing. And I'd get up and blood running down my arm or whatever, and I'd say, guys, that is a foul. Even in the NBA, they would call that a foul. You cannot do that. And I was on my last sip of Gatorade, and I looked around, and I thought, man, we've been playing this whole time. I haven't seen Shankar yet. And I said, you know, where's Shankar? And they go, well, I don't know. You know, I asked the missionary. He goes, I don't know. He had some plans today, but I don't know what all he was doing. And so we finished. We're getting ready to walk over to the vehicle and go back to the house where the Bible club was going on. And Shankar comes running, you know, and he has his tennis shoes, and he's ready to play basketball. I said, Shankar, where have you been? He said, well, don't you all remember? I said I was going to go rent a vehicle and pick up kids in the neighborhood. And he said, I just finished picking all the kids up. Ended up, we had about 60 kids. And he said, I just dropped them off and wanted to come back and play basketball now. I said, so let me see if I got this right. You said no to basketball initially to go pick up kids. And he said, yes. I said, Shankar, where I'm from, and, you know, with me even, I would probably would have said, forget the kids, let's go play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so if you have that kind of commitment, I think I have a little bit more commitment to play basketball with you. So we went back out, sweat still pouring off everybody, and we played more basketball, and it was still rough, and, you know, trying to teach them how to play the game.
Right.
Well, they told us that there were several guys there who had never put their faith and trust in Jesus, and so we went back, and Brian, who kind of organized this trip, he was an English teacher in the public school outside of Denver, and he was going to give a little challenge from the Word. So we got back in the backyard, we're sitting in the shade, sipping on some more Gatorade, and he started to share the gospel. Well, Terry, the missionary, had gone back around front, check on the kids, and that was about ready to wrap up, and he came back and got my attention, and I walked up to the side of the house, and he goes, tell Brian the challenge is over. I go, he just started. He goes, I know, but I want to show you something. We walked around the front, and he said, you see those three guys over there? He said, there's a Hindu man in the area here in the village who has kind of started a rumor that you were paying Shankar $25 a head to kidnap these kids, bring them here, and convert them from Hinduism to Christianity, which, of course, that wasn't true. And Shankar was back in the back with all the other guys listening to the challenge, and he said, Ken, there's going to be a riot here, and I can tell you the police here are not like the police back home. And it could be a little corrupt, and it could be a little ugly, and I've already been dismissed from the island once, and I had to raise $50,000 to come back and set up a business. And so my teens that are here, the teenagers from our church that are here, are going to want you guys to get out of here because this place is going to explode.
Mm.
And probably within 5 to 10 minutes, there was a total angry mob outside this house and had a little white picket fence in front.
Wow.
Traffic stopped. People were yelling, screaming. They said that they'd gone down and probably recruited some guys from the local bar to want to fight.
Sure.
So I went around, told Brian, I'm sorry, challenge is over, we have to go. And so we got our wives and went bumping through this crowd that was not happy that we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in the van, and we took off, and we got back to his house, and sure enough, we got a phone call. The phone call was from one of the teens that was at the church, and they said, "Pastor, when you left, the mob stormed the house. They beat many of us. The mob really beat Chonker. They accused him of kidnapping. The police got there, and they beat us some more, and the police beat Chonker a little bit more. And he was charged with kidnapping, and they took him to jail. And they're saying that a judge, Pastor, already is involved in this case, and she wants to see the blood of a Christian." And, Pastor, one other thing they said if we wanted to have church tomorrow, this was on a Saturday, they said if we want to have church tomorrow, that we can have it, but it'll be the last time we have church because they'll blow it up. Well, Pastor Greg, I have, from day one, growing up in a pastor's home, have been told, "You're going to church today." Really not a whole lot of options.
Mm-hmm.
We got back to the house. Terry informed us of all of this, the missionary. And he said, "I'm not going to ask anyone to go to church tomorrow. It could be the last time you go to church."
Right.
So he said, "We do need to keep a low profile today. It's already made the radio." And he said, "We don't need it on the news." And so we sang and we read scripture and we prayed throughout the day and kind of just stayed there at the house. And that night, Terry knocked on my door and said, "Hey, I'm going to go see Shonker in jail. Do you want to go?" I said, "Absolutely." So we went to the jail, and I don't know, it was probably about a 20 by 20 cell, and it probably had about 24, 25 guys packed in there.
Mm.
They couldn't even sit down. And when we came in, you know, we nodded to the police officers, and Terry went right over to the cell, and I saw Shonker there in the back, and he started to come up to get near us there. You could tell his ribs were really sore. He walked a little weak, probably from the beating that he had just received.
Right.
And I stuck my hand through the bar and grabbed his hand. I said, "Shonker, you're like a modern-day Joseph or modern-day Daniel for me right now." I said, "I want you to know we're praying for you." He goes, Pastor Keen, this is Ikmud. Ikmud, come." Ikmud was back there brushing his teeth or something. He comes up to the front, and I'll never forget, Shonker said, "Pastor Keen, this is Ikmud. Ikmud is Hindu. Ikmud has never heard Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone. He's heard Jesus Christ and many other gods, but he's never heard Jesus Christ alone can take away his sin." And so I looked at Ikmud and I said, "Ikmud, I want to tell you right now, what he's telling you is true. And it's what the Bible says, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through him." I know we're about ready to wrap up. I can come back and finish my story with Shonker because it was pretty powerful because of what it did in the life of Brian and his wife, Victoria, who was with him on that trip.
We definitely want to hear the end of that story, but you're right, we are running out of time. So, Pastor Ken, thank you so much. And I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. And I know you folks that are listening to this radio broadcast are just like me. But missions is exciting. Doesn't necessarily mean it's safe, but it is the will of God. Lives are changed. Hearts are touched when they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So until the next time, I challenge you, take a stand for God, because Jesus Christ is still the only answer.